When it comes to home insurance, Geico works for you. And since I'm the Geico Gecko, I'm here working for you too.
Hey, Gecko, can you record my voicemail greeting?
No problemo.
You've reached the amazing Rita. She's probably busy right now teaching music theory to neighbourhood birds. Or telling a total stranger how they can bundle home and car insurance with Geico to get the discounts they deserve. But rest assured, she'll get back to you once she's done brightening her little corner of the world.
Did that sound all right?
Nailed it. No notes.
Let Geico work for you. Get more with Geico.
Jillian Pensavale.
Patrick Hines.
What did I do? What did I do?
You're getting so Courtney Love about it.
Oh, am I?
You're getting very like girl with a bunch of R's rock. And I love it. I love Letters to Cleo. Don't come for me, you guys. Do not. I'm like an Ani DiFranco, Tori Amos person. But you're getting very, I mean, if we're going to do this like mid-ish 90s girl rock thing.
Yeah. Should we try?
Yeah.
Jillian Pensavale.
Patrick Hines. Ba-da-da. No, it doesn't work with the banana. Let's stick to what we know. Let's stick to our expertise. Theater. Musical theater.
Here we are. Hi, girl.
Hey, girl.
Before we get to the show, you guys, we have to remind you about our Patreon. Check it out. Today, we're recording episode 7 of Serial. Introducing Miss Deirdre Enright.
Hero Bell, where is it?
I know.
I love Deirdre.
Deirdre Enright is amazing. She's not here for Sarah's shit.
Or like anyone's.
Right. Who else is not here for Sarah's shit?
Me. You know, it's surprising me.
Yeah.
Every episode I'm like, oh, this is how I feel again. We're back here emotionally. All right, let's go on this ride. So you guys, come along with me. I don't know what's going to happen next week. We'll see. It's fun revisiting it.
So you guys, check it out. We've got that. All of our extended outtakes are on our Patreon feed. We have 2 other full bonus episodes, a whole bunch of mini episodes. Like, there's just more content than you could ever know what
to
do.
If you sign up right now, the TCO Patreon feed in your phone will have, I'm not kidding you guys, no less than 20 things to listen to.
Yeah, for sure. All
of them hilarious. No less than 20 for $5. Just saying. We have another podcast. It's called My So-Called Podcast.
Yes, you guys. It's a journey through my so-called life. It's true crime obsessed for my so-called life.
It really is a journey.
It is a journey.
Journey. I'm so here for it. I love it.
You guys, the first 9 episodes are up. The last one we uploaded was Halloween.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. Nikki Driscoll.
Oh, God. Enough.
Back in time.
Enough. You guys, before we start.
Jillian, let's just give a huge disclaimer.
Yeah. Like Jesus Camp and the 7-5 and all this and every documentary, like not all West Virginians.
Yes.
We know that West Virginia is a beautiful place.
Yes.
When we do this podcast, welcome to True Crime Obsessed. When we do this podcast, we are talking about the documentary we watched and the people in it.
Yes.
We know 100%. Like, it's like if I was like, we can't do the 7-5 because people from Queens are in it. And how, like, you guys, like, not all Queens people, not all Christians, not all West Virginians.
Yes.
We totally get it. And we're also very sensitive to the fact that whether the Jackass guys knew it or not, they made a documentary about the opioid crisis.
Right.
They didn't know they did that.
Yeah.
They thought these people were hilarious and they were glorifying them. Patrick and I know it's about the opioid crisis. We both know people who are addicts and
100%.
In recovery. Yeah. From heroin to alcohol. We totally get it. But these guys are ridiculous and you wanted us to do it.
So should we have some laughs?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Girl, what are we talking about today?
The trashiest, garbagiest people in all the land. I mean, the wild and wonderful whites of West Virginia.
This was rough. I've been seeing people talk about this documentary for years. I've never watched it.
It's unbelievable. Listeners, you wanted it, you got it. Also, for people playing along at home, it's not whites as in white people. It is, but their last name is White.
That's right. Yeah.
So there was some confusion in the Facebook group.
I thought it was like a racist documentary. There are Confederate flags everywhere in this documentary.
Right.
It's horrendous.
No teeth. Shit ton of Confederate flags. And drugs. Not a shower or a bar of soap to be seen, but Confederate flags for days. And cigarettes. And drinking and driving. And passing out. And being naked.
And children with no supervision. And also twirling guns in like the proximity of babies.
Everything is in caps and bolded on my notes. Yeah, every single.
I know. No, me too. Me too. It's a veritable pride flag.
I'm just like, well, I guess it's all important. I don't know. Who cares? Fuck this.
Can you tell me about the reputation of the White family in Boone County and West Virginia?
I'd really rather not comment on that.
When you represent the Whites, you don't know what you're going to get into. Shootings.
Armed robbery.
Embezzlement. Forgery.
Drug cases.
Burglary. Fights. Things like that.
I'd enjoy killing people. Cutting them up, shooting them. I can't stop killing you.
I chop a symbol up and throw him in a damn mine shaft up in a garbage bag. I got three mine shafts up his arm.
Well, I used to be water in the buck. I used to try a little coke here and there. I smoked a little crack.
Right here, listen. You want to hear the Boone County mating call? Sound good, baby.
Like, if you started some with me, it would be, I'd fight you.
It was one hell of a night. I just went on a rampage, pretty much.
I said, Brandon, what are you going to do, shoot me?
It's just strange how everything had happened in our family. It seems like our lives has just been a party, and we're just living like it's a story.
At your funeral, what do you want people to do?
Rock and roll, baby.
Even though they might be the most hated family, well, they're probably the most free. They are the true rebels of the South.
All right. You want to get us started?
Yeah. The music that they play in this
yeah.
is straight out of that episode of South Park where it's like, you do a line, I'll do a line, honey. You snort K and I'll snort K, honey. I'll send you the link. You have to play it. It's the exact same. Don't tell me it's different music. That is exactly what it is. And they tap dance to it. You know they'd be humming for any other person in the world who was like made a living as a tap dancer. They would be calling them every horrible yes. name that we would never repeat
yes,
in the
yes,
book.
Yes, 100%.
But their trashy family does it, so it's cool. I fucking hated this movie so much. Here's the thing. I mean, I don't really know how this is true crime unless you consider it like a crime against humanity, which I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, or the fact that they're just like selling drugs. We're watching them like buying like pills for $8 and selling them for $9. Like they're also ripping off the Social Security Administration.
They're confessing to murders.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're confessing to stabbings and attempted murders. They're right. drinking and driving. They're snorting and driving.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so it's true crime.
Is it nice?
I wanted to point out that the adjectives used to describe the Whites, if you were to take out the word white and substitute it with Florida, it would be right up our alley.
They don't want to conform to any authority, no rules, and all they got to do is to fuss, fight, and party.
Some of them are good, some of them are entertaining, and a whole lot of them are just trouble and dangerous.
You know what? This movie starts out with us meeting 28 people. At one point, I'm not kidding you guys, on page 3.5 of my notes, within the first 10 minutes,
yeah.
I just write in caps, are we done meeting people? How many people are we going to meet? All of their middle names are Bob, even the women. Like,
all of the women are named men. There's like Kirk and Bobby Sue.
Well, Sue Bob's nickname is Kirk. Like, what?
I don't know. I can't keep any of their names straight. So the first person, the first one of the Whites that we meet is Mamie White.
Mammy? I don't know. She sounds like what I would imagine like a truck full of cigarettes personified would sound like.
My name is Mamie White, and I'm the biggest and the meanest and the baddest of all the White family.
Oh, should we like describe Mammy a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to do it? The thing, I have already blocked out so much of this, so I'm trying to just get a visual.
She looks like she's in her 50s. She's probably 20, you know?
The they're like all 20. That's right. Just like what seems to happen with these families. They all are just suddenly weirdly the same age.
And she just has like, you know, she's heavy and she's got like her skin is horrendous and her hair is in a ponytail and it's all like braided and...
Girl, run a comb. This movie is about you run the comb through your hair. She also does this thing when we first meet her that I hate when people do so much. We talked about it a little in the 7-5 where she's like, I'm the biggest, baddest, and meanest. Like, okay. When people wear that, like a badge, yeah, that they're the biggest badass and the meanest and the this and the that, like, take a seat.
I know. And we're going to see.
Actually, put down the Black Beauties and the Scotch. You've had plenty. I'm Mammy. I'm the baddest bitch in the whites. And I'm like, oh. Okay.
Oh my God. So she's the one who introduces us to the father, the patriarch, D. Ray White. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't understand. He made his living as a tap dancer and he became famous.
Excuse you, a mountain tap dancer. I will have you know.
And my father is D. Ray White and he was the last king of the mountain tap dancer. He invented his own style of dancing. He knew 52 steps that nobody else could do. Nobody showed him or taught him. He did this of his own heart and his mind.
He just did it with his own heart and mind. Okay, also, you guys, side note. You know I watch these with closed captions just so that I can get all the details right.
Yes.
Within 15 minutes, it was already, I posted this picture in the Facebook group. It was like inaudible. Just, I don't know. Like the closed captions were that shrug emoji. They were just like, girl, I mean, your guess is as good as mine. So the audio in this might be a little rough for you
guys,
girl.
I'm actually nervous about that. We're going to see how it goes when we get...
You have to play it, and then it's like, this is what we dealt. Like, what do you... Yeah, like, if you guys, if you're not watching the documentary and you listen to us so that you don't have to...
Yeah.
I mean, we were just as lost as you're going to be. We're all in this together, everybody. But so D-Ray is just literally stomping barefoot on a piece of plywood.
Right.
But he got super famous.
My father, D-Ray White, was really getting really famous. He was on his way to Canada to finish making his film, The Talking Feet, and he got killed in a shootout.
No, what happened was some idiot was playing with their gun and shot the guy. let's not make this like a shooting of honor. It most certainly was not. D-Ray was shot making a movie called Talkin' Feet, which was about the 52 dance moves he made up on it, which is really just a really super hard shuffleball change and a time step thrown in there and stomping. Like, it's really, like, I don't get what the big deal is.
Same. But then we get a montage of all of the other dead whites.
So he left 4 sons behind that he tried to leave his talent to.
This is the beginning of these names not making a lick of sense.
Yeah.
So Mark White, and Mammy says, my brother Mark, his name is Donald Maris White. Where do you get Mark? I'm really asking. Donald Maris White.
Yeah, not a clue.
They call him Mark.
Yeah.
All right, well.
He got in a fight with this guy, came over about his pit bull, and when he opened the door to see who was at the door, they shot and killed him.
Dorsey White went and bought a pistol.
And Dorsey evidently took the clip out of the bottom, thought it was empty, and when he pulled it to his temple to show him it wasn't loaded, it went off. It was the end of Dorsey.
And that was the end of Dorsey. That's her little brother that she's talking about. The way she talks about these people.
I know.
Pony White was in trouble for prescription fraud.
And he got the hell out of there.
So he hauled Heine out here to Minnesota to change his life. Got him a job, got him a home, and he's doing fine.
Even Mammy's like, got a job, got a home, he's doing fine. And I'm like, okay, so it is possible. Great, good to know. Jesco White ended up with D. Ray's shoes. D. Ray, the father, the famous mountain tap dancer. He ended up with their shoes. And PBS. Sesame Street.
Right.
Classic Arts Showcase. Culture. PBS made a documentary called The Dancing Outlaw.
Yep.
The clip they play. Ow, it hurts. The force with which.
I know.
I took the butcher knife and put it up to her neck. I said, if you want to live to see tomorrow, you better start frying them eggs a little bit better than what you're frying. I'm tired of eating sloppy, slimy eggs.
This guy is crazy. We will find out later that he has brain damage from huffing gasoline. Like, he huffs so much gasoline that it eats a hole in his brain.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. They also say, but the thing about Jesco is that, like, because he's like the new mountain tap dancer in town.
Yeah.
Whatever. And he has D. Ray's shoes, and this documentary came out with him about him. He's super famous.
You guys, he's
town.
Like really, really, really famous.
Like, we're not fucking.
No,
I mean,
yeah, yeah. They call him Appalachian royalty at one point.
Okay. Like, and, all right.
This is not a joke.
Yeah.
He literally can't leave his house. He's so famous in that area that he can't just like be outside.
He puts these very ridiculous looking keep out signs.
Which people steal.
Or like write love notes to him on them.
I know.
Them.
It's insane.
There's people that love Jessica, but they're also fascinated with him to a point that is very disrespectful. You know, obviously, go to his home and see what's on the front of his door. It's a different sign every day. He can't even put up a sign that says, keep out of this place, without a fan coming and taking it down as a souvenir.
So, after we get this round robin of the crazies, we get the on-screen text that says, oh, they learned how to use on-screen text.
Oh, good.
They should call the disgraced people and teach them how to use it.
Well, it's impossible not to because they have this family tree. So it's always
it's true.
Like, they have to say who's cousin and who they're related to. And it's super nuts.
Totally.
So if they didn't, I'd be like,
I know.
Girls.
So we get this on-screen text that says these filmmakers decided to follow this family around for a year.
Yeah, it's a year in the life.
It is.
Of the
and
White
it's,
family.
I gotta say, unlike the last movie we watched, I feel like whether we like the subjects or not, I think this movie's well made.
Right. Well, because nothing happened. Like, a lot of stuff happened, but there wasn't a story to follow.
Totally.
It was very much like the 7-5 where it's like, here's a ridiculous thing. Right. Here's another ridiculous thing. Oh, they're drinking and driving. Great. Cocaine. Like, it's very similar to the 7-5, actually. So now we meet Birdie Mae White, a.k.a. the Miracle Woman.
She gets hero bells. This woman, hero bells with an asterisk, because, you know.
Did you hear how light it was?
Yeah.
It's like, I agree.
Totally. Birdie Mae is like the matriarch.
The reason why my mother got the name of the Miracle Woman is because she raised over 34 kids, if not more, that was abandoned and that needed help. From the loss of their mothers or the loss of their fathers. And my sisters and brothers, you know, had them and just left them and didn't want them. But my mom took them in.
This woman raised a million kids.
Yeah, they say 34. Because people, I guess she was just like, hey, I'll take care of humans.
Right, yeah.
And people are like, yo, what? And then they just dropped off, they got in the pickup truck and dropped their 8 children off at Birdie's house.
So she was somehow not able to pass down this great virtue or value in life. Like, all of them turn out to be monsters, but okay.
Yeah. They're like the Dementors in Harry Potter. They just suck all the life out of her, the poor thing. And she was married to D-Ray, so she's like the matriarch of this whole thing. D-Ray, the famous mountain dancer, was her mountain tap dancer.
That's a thing.
Yeah. So then we meet Susie Mae White, but everyone calls her Kirk. You guys, don't ask me. I don't know.
Jessica is my uncle. My mom's his sister.
She is so hammered. And when I say, you guys, for this episode only, maybe, when we say hammered, that involves like pills. Hammered
maybe
is not just drugs.
But like, yeah.
Usually like in my everyday life when I say hammered.
It's like wine.
From wine and vodka.
Yeah. Not here. These people are pill poppers.
Pill snorters.
Snorters, yeah.
Excuse you.
Exactly.
They will drink. Let's not get it.
Correct.
So she is Birdie Mae's, the Miracle Woman's granddaughter, and her mother's named Bo. You guys, I don't know. Can we not care about so much who's who?
Totally. Yeah, well, exactly. That's the only way to do it.
Great. So her father is in prison for double murder. They tried to charge her with a sheshery. She can't say it. But she's not a snitch. She's not a snitch. Don't even ask her.
They tried to charge me with a sheshery. And I told him, I said, just go ahead and send my ass to jail. Because I'm not a snitch. I wouldn't snitch nobody out.
And she's been to jail so many times, she can't count. She seems nice.
And also, like, she's got this adorable, adorable son who's playing in, like, an indoor tent, in this, like, filthy tent.
Uh-huh.
And
inside.
Like, inside. She's just, like, openly in front of him talking about how much she loves to get into fights.
Uh-huh.
And how she'll come for you. It doesn't matter who you are. I love to fight.
Uh-huh.
Horrendous.
Slurring her words. And the son, who's named Tyler.
Yeah.
But they spell it wrong, because...
How do they spell it?
T-Y-L-O-R. It's Tyler. Like, it's with an E. Like, really?
Yeah, we all know how to spell Tyler.
He's what, 8?
8, sure, yeah.
I love to fight. I really do.
You never do fight me, but I want you to.
Then we meet Sue Bob White, who's bouncing on a trampoline. And
this
she's got,
bitch. I said, who is this bitch on the fucking trampoline in my notes? Well, first of all, they call her Bob. So her name is Sue Mae White. They call her Sue Bob.
Yeah.
And she prefers Bob. So she's Mamie's sister.
Doesn't matter.
Great. Yeah. Fuck it. What's most important? She's always been the sexiest woman in the family.
I've always been a sexist one in the family. I've always had comments from thousands of people.
She used to make a killing as a stripper, you guys.
Well, I used to be a stripper back then when I was 17, 18, 19 years old. And I made the bukus of money. I'd bring home at least $15,000 to $2,000 a night in my boo.
$2,000 a night? She wasn't getting that money from stripping. She was doing some stuff in some back room and some on some disgusting couch that like made noise when you sat on it. That's how she made $2,000 a night.
There is a Patrick-sized hole in the door. I have moved to West Virginia to become a stripper.
I mean,
yeah,
but thousands. I mean, thousands of people were telling her how sexy she is. Just ask her; she'll tell you.
Then we meet Bo,
and her son is Derek. Bo and Derek.
I know. I thought that too.
They called Derek Durkee. Why not? AKA the old dirty white boy.
He's
old. He's like 23.
Yeah.
I was like, you're going to think he's hot.
He's very, very, very hot.
I knew it.
But like,
I knew it.
These people are so messed up that it's just kind of like, you can't even, you know?
No.
But like, imagine him in another life. He'd be a model. He'd be like a runway model in New York City. He's gorgeous.
Okay. But Bo and Derek do a lot of drugs together.
This is unreal.
Lots.
Bo takes us through like her preferred drugs.
I used to try a little coke here and there. Smoked a little crack, you know what I mean? I've tried this and that. And my favorite buzz, choice of buzz, is marijuana. I love marijuana. I'm a pothead.
But her favorite is marijuana.
And then her son, sitting next to her on the couch, takes us through his favorite drugs.
I'll tell you straight up what I like. I prefer a Roxycontin, a Lorset, a Norico, a Viking, an ES, a Percocet 10, a Xanax, especially a Xanny bar.
Right here, listen. You want to hear the Boone County mating call?
The Boone County mating call.
When I heard the preview, because I listened to it, I didn't watch it,
I thought
it was spray paint. I literally thought that it was like, these are just hooligans out like spray painting. No. These are full-on opioid addicted people who need a ton of fucking help.
Oh, Patrick, you beautiful tropical fish. It's spray paint. Girl. And then Bo's like, we're really good people. Everyone's just always putting us down. She has no... And that's the other thing. These people, like, have no awareness. They're so entitled. And one of the lawyers, one of their zillions of lawyers says that they just think that they can do whatever the fuck they want. Don't say... You're really not good people.
No, yeah.
Like, you're not. You're, like, stealing money and killing people and stabbing people. Like,
right.
Can you stop
and
it?
And just raising hell. Like, it's just... It's awful.
Seriously.
So we go back to, like, a round robin of, like, all of the things that they do wrong.
Larceny, prescription, fraud, shooting.
Arm robberies,
embezzlement, forgery,
drug cases,
burglary, fights, things like that.
I love one of their defense lawyers is like,
they're clever. They're not educated necessarily, but they are very clever, crafty in what they do.
Clever, not educated. Not educated. Don't quote me, not educated, but they're clever. Yeah. I just think they don't give a fuck and they know they have nothing to lose.
Right.
I don't think that makes them clever. I think they just don't care.
Totally.
And they feel like, well, we've been getting away with it for so long. It
exactly.
doesn't matter. We can do whatever we want.
100%.
And then we get a tour from Jesco, who's like, I robbed that bank over there and I robbed that gas station.
And here on the left, this used to be an Exxon gas station. And this used to be a grocery store. That's the one I robbed when I went to Foreman School when I was younger. On the right side of the road where the church is. And I also robbed it. 2 times and got away.
Oh, what happened to the store? There used to be a store over there. I robbed it. And I'm like, you guys.
So they take us now to the matriarch, Bertie's birthday party. And Bertie is sitting on the couch, surrounded by her children and grandchildren, like smoking pot, blowing it into each other's mouths, doing pills, snorting lines. Mm-hmm. And Bertie wants nothing to do with any of that.
It's also the worst rendition of Happy Birthday I've ever. How do you mess up Happy Birthday? Did you really hear that?
Yeah.
I was like, my musical theater ears are. Mm.
Happy birthday, dear mother. Happy birthday to you.
I love you, Mom.
We love you many
Happy
more.
Birthday.
It's just horrible. And here's the thing. Like, there, this is when I started to be like, this is not funny at all.
Uh-huh.
This is a nightmare. The kid is crying.
Right.
And they are actually passing a plate of drugs over him and not caring that this child is crying.
A party.
I'm treated like an old
one. Oh, he's going in shock.
Oh, baby. No.
That's my counterbalance.
Well, you don't do this.
Take every child and every animal
I know.
Out of these houses. And the mother who is just, can I just fucking turn 85 in peace?
I know.
Is telling them every 5 seconds to stop.
Right.
And they're screaming.
Let me up. I want to smell that stuff, Mamie.
Don't do her like that.
I ain't doing nothing.
Let me up, Jesse.
All right.
I'll help you, Ma.
And then, like, one of them bursts out of the bathroom fully naked.
And then does that, like, dance where the peen moves around? Just, like, moving his hips around? It's so horrible. And then he turns around and shoves his ass in Mamie's face, and she shoves him.
I
so hard into some table that's straight out of Hoarders. There's just a ton of shit on it. Old picture frames and piles of magazines and newspapers from the 70s. And she shoves him into it with all of her might. And there's plenty of it. And it is just, I'm like, wow. You guys, we're 15 minutes in. Also, I want to say one thing.
Yeah.
Every single time a man and a woman meet in this movie, they greet like they're dating.
Uh-huh.
And then you realize they're all related.
Yeah.
So there's that.
So now we're back to Kirk's house. She's a girl and the mother of that adorable little boy, Tyler.
Uh-huh.
She's yelling at Tyler that maybe having had 6 cans of soda was too much.
I think 6 cans of pops too much. It's right for you.
I have never actually seen a kid bounce off the walls before. He is doing it because he's jumping on his bed.
Yep.
He's throwing things with all of his might. This little boy has so much anger in him.
Yes.
It's heartbreaking.
And, you know, we get to know him a little bit better throughout the movie. He's a really sweet kid. And that's like the tragedy of all of this.
Right.
Like when you see the little kids around them and you know they're going to grow up to be just like their parents.
Right.
It's awful.
And he's all, can you, Kirk, maybe tell your son not to try to open that 7th can with his teeth? So now we hear about Dennis.
And we don't know if Dennis is Tyler's dad or not. We don't know.
Yeah, no, we have no idea. But Tyler, this is where some of Tyler's anger comes out.
Yep.
He does not like Dennis at all.
Kirk, the mom, liked Dennis because he had an 18-wheeler and a job.
Uh-huh.
Aim high. Aim right. high, ladies.
So there's a photo up on the bulletin board that's been ripped in half. So it was a photo of Kirk and Dennis. Here's what I love about this, which is like, it just makes me laugh so much. She ripped the side of the photo with Dennis in it out. But the ripped half of her is still on the bulletin board.
It's a good picture. She looks great.
And I think that's hilarious that she didn't even, she's like, oh, I want to put this up. I look pretty. But she didn't like cut it so that it could still just be a nice photo of her. It's just ripped, all uneven, and it's just up there. I don't know why, but that made me laugh so hard.
But then we find out, she tells us that he cheated on her.
He ends up screwing my cousin. And then I end up stabbing his ass.
So she stabbed his ass.
I meant to slit his throat, and that's for real. I meant to kill that motherfucker.
And not I stabbed him. It was cool. It was cool. You got her child. You guys, her child is behind her playing in that outdoor piece of playground thing that's inside
the living room. Yeah.
And she's describing how Birdie May, the matriarch of the whole
grandmother
thing,
the one that got the hero bells in the beginning,
she cleaned up the blood and hid the knife, so there's no evidence, so they couldn't take me to jail.
How many crimes did she just admit to?
I know.
On camera.
I know.
I'm like,
and then Tyler chimes in about his thoughts about Dennis.
You and Dennis, tell him that damn bastard hit you.
It's just so sad because this kid knows.
I know.
That his mom was being hit by this guy. It's just like really. And then he does this thing, which is a meme. I didn't know this because I had never seen this movie before.
Me either.
And so there's this meme because Tyler does something and he says, Dennis is this, but he's flipping off. He has both of his hands doing a middle finger.
Yeah.
And she's like, stop cussing. And I'm like, you just admitted to attempted murder and that you have an accomplice.
Yeah.
Like, you have just said a lot of shit.
Yeah.
2 middle fingers. Like, that is where you draw the line.
So it's 6 months later and Kirk has had a baby. Kirk, the mom, has had a baby.
So we didn't know she was pregnant.
While she's doing all of these drugs.
Uh-huh. I got pregnant before I stabbed Dennis. Oh. Okay. And guess what? Surprise! It's Dennis's baby. Fun for the whole gigantic 80-member family.
I know. So we see her in her hospital room, and her cousins, they're like taking care of her. She...
just this whole situation.
I know. She's super cracked out. You don't know if it's because like she's on morphine from the pregnant, from having the baby.
Right, like, or... she did just give birth. Again, 100%. Not a mother, but from what I understand, it's a very trying experience.
When my baby gets older, I'd like for her life to go in a totally different direction than what mom went. You know, finish school, do the right things, stay away from the wrong people. You know, have her own dreams, work hard toward them.
And you see the baby, and the baby is beautiful, and she is in love with this baby.
You, how would you, how old would you estimate that baby? Days, two days old at the most.
Not even, right? Yeah, I mean it's brand new.
Well, I want to make that perfectly clear because of what she does next.
Take it away.
Let me paint a picture. It's the hospital room. She's in the hospital gown. This beautiful, sweet baby is sleeping soundly.
Yeah.
And her stupid asshole cousin, I'm saying it, I don't care, brings in pills. And Kirk actually says, she's like, now it's time for my medicine.
Ugh.
And she's kneeling on the floor of the hospital bed. She can reach out her arm and touch her day-old baby.
Yeah.
And starts snorting lines in the hospital.
Yep.
And then she's shocked that the hospital won't let her take the baby home.
Right. So there, again, the filmmaking school of on-screen text, we find out. We find out that the hospital wants to keep the baby for 72 hours for observation. And so she's devastated. This is where we start to see Kirk talking about how, like, she's trying to stay out of trouble. Like, you can see that she's really starting to understand that, like, being a new mother and having this, like, major drug habit is not going to work.
So hard to stay out of trouble. And it's, every time I turn around, it's hitting me in the face worse and worse.
And now with like Kirk fresh out of the hospital, we're at somebody's house.
And out come the guns. What's worse, chloroform or guns?
Well, it's also like this kid, just like in the middle of the living room, surrounded by people and children, he's like cocking this gun.
I killed a deer with this year.
Right. He's like trying to show off is what he's trying to do. Yeah. And then he actually says,
step back, Junior.
And I'm like, oh! All the kids and the animals, I'll take all of them.
I'll just
deal with it in the interim until someone who's more qualified.
It's horrendous. And then we get this like montage of like how much they love guns. And like, we get it. You guys, listen, I get it. I know that people like their guns. I get it. They're out in the back and they're shooting their guns and it's whatever, like, you know, it's not my life and it looks like a lot to me.
If you have to say the word step back, Junior, please stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
I think any responsible gun owner would say, yeah, probably, if you have to say the word step back, Junior,
right,
you take a step back yourself.
And that's my thing too, is that like, please tell me that every responsible gun owner saw that and cringed.
Absolutely, because again, not all West Virginians, not all gun owners.
Right.
And also, he is giving tattoos in the kitchen. And spelling the name wrong.
This kid, they're all so fucked up. This kid can't figure out how to spell Raven.
Right.
M-A-R-E.
That's an E, right? Right here.
R-A-V-E-N.
R-A-V-E-N. Shit, I was putting an A in there. Fucking good. You can't tell.
He can't figure out where the E and the A go.
And then he's like, I'm so good, you can't even notice it. And then they show it. It looks like a third grader learning cursive for the first time. That's what it looks like. I'm like, are you kidding me?
This is what
me?
These people are doing for fun in the kitchen.
So, you guys, they don't work. Yeah. This is their daily life. So that's why we didn't see it for 6 months, because it's that.
Totally.
It would be a 10-part series, and thank God it's not. It's the ugliest tattoo of all time. So now we're going to pick up Mamie's daughter, Mousy, from prison, because she's been there for 4 years and they're all popping pills on the way there. Mousy.
She's not, by the way.
She's not. No. There's nothing Mousy about her. Her husband, Charles, is a bastard and a cheater.
But then she wastes no time hopping out of this caravan to like get into like to get on a phone and try to track him down.
James, is Charles Greener?
Here we go. Charles Green, that's all she's worried about.
He didn't come to work.
Son of a bitch.
She actually looks good. You can tell this girl's been off drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she looks, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and the minute she's out, they're like, here are your pills. Here's the beer. Let's get into a fucking moving vehicle and just be super stoned and drunk. Excellent. But here's where we learn that her deadbeat husband, Charles, cheated on her with Kirk,
right,
who stabbed her boyfriend or whoever, Dennis, for cheating on her. Ladies. Whatever happened to women supporting women?
When I was in prison the second time, he cheated on me with my cousins, Kirk. Moved her in my apartment for 2 months. And then when I made pro, he made her move out. She cut up all my wedding pictures, all my clothes, destroyed my apartment before she left.
Kirk trashed Mousy's place and like cut up all her wedding photos, which I would you kind of love to see. You know they're in the woods with guns. You know. So then we check in with Pony, who is...
So Pony's the one that got away.
So I come to Minnesota, man, to have a better life for myself, you know what I mean, and for my kids. I want them to have better than what I had.
And you think he's going to be normal. He's not.
He's as normal as you can possibly be.
Totally.
So he hightails it to Minnesota. His daughter is named Virginia. Which is like, you can take the Virginia out of the pony or whatever. His son is Jerry, which is the most absurd name for a 13-year-old. And he's like, I'm Jerry. And I'm like...
Jerry has some thoughts too. Like, these kids are talking about what they left behind back there, and they are happy to be gone.
They don't miss it. Being robbed by their own relatives, being robbed by their own 10-year-old cousins. They're like, shit is real down there. They start shit real young. Which is, I guess, why you name your kids Jerry, like a super old, like an adult's name, because it's like, you got to grow up soon, Jerry.
Well, so Jerry's 10 years old, and he's talking about how, like,
he's like a teenager.
Is he? He looks so little.
Yeah, he's like, he's older than 10.
He's let's say he's 11.
All right.
I'll meet you at 10 and a half.
Sure. All right, let's go.
But he's talking about how if he still lived in West Virginia, he'd be dead.
My life would be different because I'd probably be dead by now, hanging around the wrong people and probably overdosed or something. Drugs.
These kids know that they got out of Dodge and it was a good thing.
It's kind of amazing how aware they are.
100%.
Of the horror.
Yeah.
So just real quick, we like take a hard left.
Dressed in camouflage, he looked like he was ready to hunt, but police say this teenager was waging war in Boone County.
So we cut to this news footage and we're like, okay, like, is something happening?
Right.
Because nothing's happened to this documentary.
They've just like walked around and snorted pills for like the last 45
minutes. No, they drove around drunk and snorted pills. How dare you? And you guys remember the mountain tap dancer? Like, what was that about?
Sometimes when you would see them pulling out of parking lots and stuff, I actually had the thought, like, they had to go get a driver's test. Like, they actually had to like study and actually go take a test for their driver's license.
One time when they were 17. Right. And never again. DMV, can we talk about that? Like, that's a little ridiculous.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1-cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
So we hear that the police are saying this teenager was waging war in Boone County. And I'm like, girl.
You guys, I know.
So Sue Bob, the sexiest woman in the world, henceforth known as Sexy. I'm just going to call her Sexy. That, his name is Brandon.
Yeah. And he is the son of Sexy.
So here's what happened, just real quick. He was buying Xanax, which is his drug of choice.
Uh-huh. They all have one. They all have a drug of choice.
They're
children. I know.
And a little coke and a little weed.
But a whole bunch of guns.
Right. A shitload of guns. So Sexy tells us that Brandon was the best kid you could ever meet until he got in with the wrong crowd, who just so happens to be his fucking family. Don't act like he just like randomly found these people.
Right,
it's his family. family got in with the wrong crowd. You're the wrong crowd. It's you. So he's on a shit ton of guns, Xanax, weed, coke. He's on like quite a cocktail. It's like, have a Cosmo. Have a lemon drop.
A kamikaze, I know.
Chaos that started late Monday night in Wharton. Police say the teenager got into a fight with his uncle over the phone. So he stole a car, drove to Billy Hastings' home, and pulled out a rifle.
So we are introduced to this guy, Billy Hastings, who's Mammy's boyfriend.
Apparently. We never see them together, not one time.
Right. So Billy says he had a shit ton of guns in his car because it was deer hunting season.
Yeah.
So then they went to Jesco's place and partied there for a couple days. Just went on a bender with guns. Great.
For a couple days.
And I really don't understand what happened, but basically,
same.
Brandon,
I do not understand what happened.
It ends with everyone has been high for 3 days. And each party here, Billy and Brandon, they've been on 3-day benders and they have a shit ton of guns.
Right.
So there was some altercation anyway. They were angry to begin with.
Yeah.
And then Brandon like shot the guy. And like Billy is here telling us the story. And he's like, he shot me in the neck and then he shot me in the eye and then he shot me. I'm like, how can you live to tell the story?
He got shot in the face 3 times and is alive.
And then we go back to Derek, the one you think is hot,
who does drugs with his mother.
Yeah. He says this thing because I'm like, I don't know what the hell happened, but like someone was shot and someone's in jail, like whatever. Yeah. And Derek's like,
so you tell me who got the better end of that deal.
And I was just like, I don't know, dude. It sounds like you think there's a real answer to that question, but honestly, it looks fucking terrible from where I'm standing. So I don't know.
I thought the same thing.
It sounds like he has an answer. I guess Billy, because Billy's alive and out of prison. Like, I guess that's what he's saying.
Right.
But when it all, I was just like, dude, it's all fucking bad.
I know.
It looks bad from where I am.
And meanwhile, this guy, Brandon, is young. He's like, you know, he looks like he's like 17 or 18.
Right. So he's in prison. We hear from him in prison.
Right.
I'm getting sentenced on the 16th. And it's really up to the judge what happens to me. But my judge likes me. You know, we get along good. And, I think something's good going to happen. I think I'm going to go home on an alternative sentence.
This kid thinks he's going to go home. He thinks he's going to like go home and get to like have like an ankle bracelet and like live with his family. He gets 50 years.
Yeah.
He will be eligible for parole in 25 years when he's 47 years old.
Yeah.
I'm Jessica White, the Dancing Outlaw, and this is Pawnee's Camper Band that come a long way to play for me tonight. We're going to give you some picking and clicking. Hit it.
This is where we learn that, like, Jesco is crazy. And, my favorite part of this whole thing is when Mammy says that when he's not on drugs or alcohol.
Alcohol. I have that, too. Can we do a little experiment?
Sure.
We've never done this ever.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
So, please just do something for me.
Yep.
Please play what Mammy says at timestamp 39 minutes and 9 seconds. Listeners, let's play a game at home.
Okay, ready?
Listen to this and try to understand what the fuck she said.
Jesco. He started sniffing that gasoline fluid when we were young. And we couldn't do nothing with him.
So here's... you guys, closed captions. I'm telling you.
Dude, what do the closed captions say?
I'll tell you. But here's the thing. They should have... Johnny Knoxville, girl, I know you're listening. How are you? Call Patrick. That should have had their own subtitles in the movie. Because there were a lot of times in this...
That they were subtitled.
Right.
That's right. I totally agree.
And when that happens, my closed captions turn off.
Oh.
So I can see, like, the film's on-screen text.
Yep.
So I know when they chose to use them very sparingly in this. You guys, you knew on-screen text so well. We were so on your side with the on-screen text.
You know what the problem is? Fucking Johnny Knoxville speaks this language. Johnny knows exactly what she said.
All of the Jackass guys do. Okay, so here's what I had. I was like, that's not right.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't believe... I went back 4 times. What she says is, Jesco... He started sniffing that gas and lighter fluid when we was young. And then, because it's a little bit of crosstalk, and then Mammy goes on to say, and we couldn't do nothing with him.
Jesco, he started sniffing that gas and lighter fluid when we was young. And we couldn't do nothing with him.
Oh, that's what she says.
That's what she says.
Hero bell for you.
Well, thanks. And the closed captions, like, they can only do so much.
Right.
When 8 people are talking. Like,
totally.
More air, Susan. At the hospital. And I wake up when we get in.
Oh,
So the 72-hour waiting period for Kirk's baby is up. So Sexy drives Kirk back to
Thank you for sticking with that with me. I really appreciate it.
They drive back to the hospital to pick up the baby. And before, first of all, Kirk is out of her mind. She's so fucked up on whatever she's on.
She's nodding off. She's, you guys, physically, she's leaning over. She can't keep her eyes open.
The idea that you would go back to the hospital to pick up your baby in that state is unreal to me.
And it speaks volumes.
Yeah. And so, before they can even get out of the car, one of the cousins comes running over.
The cousin who brought her the pills that she snorted.
Yep.
What is it?
CPS got the baby in Boone County. I swear I was just there. I just tried to go see her. CPS got the baby in Boone County.
Comes running over and says the baby's not there. CPS has it. CPS is Child Protective Services. Yeah.
Also, so, like, the system's a mess, so I hope that baby's okay. But, like, thank God that Kirk doesn't have her. Honestly.
I want to say something here because I am in that world. So I'm a foster parent.
Right.
We adopted our daughter through foster care. And CPS can be a mess. We had a great experience with it.
Hero Bell.
Hero Bell for CPS.
Great.
I mean, the workers in CPS, by and large, do God's work and they make literally no money.
Sure.
So they take this baby to a foster home, presumably because they found drugs in the baby's system.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really, really conflicted in this moment, watching a birth parent learning that this baby had been taken away. And she says this horribly heartbreaking thing. I'm going to say it because I don't know if you guys will be able to understand it. But she talks about how, like, maybe there's a strange person holding her baby. And I was sobbing. Like, I am so sympathetic to birth parents who have their kids taken away for whatever reason. And I gotta say, like, at the end of this, you guys, I am gonna be ringing the hero bell for Kirk. Because this is the beginning of her. She realizes that if she's gonna get her baby back, she's gotta get her act together. And she fucking does it. Not right away.
Yeah, we still have
a ways to go. But, like, it was, for me, I had a very emotional response to this scene.
I absolutely understand that. Someone who does not have such an emotional stake in it.
Yeah.
The fact that she's so shocked is infuriating.
Well, because they've gotten away with this how many other times?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So there's something about it where it's like, bitch, please, sobbing and inconsolable and like not, like, why? Like,
yeah.
You know exactly why.
Right.
Right now is why.
Exactly.
You blew lines in front of her when she was 20 hours old. And, you know, the hospital probably saw her when she came in.
Yeah.
And was like, dude, the baby had drugs in her system.
Yep.
And they probably tested her blood too and realized that the mom was stoned off her fucking ass.
We got to figure out something. Sounds like the state take it. You know what I'm saying?
So now the sexiest woman in the world is driving the car.
Yep.
Bob, the sexiest woman in the world, is driving the car.
Oh, this, you guys, this, they have just left the hospital. They have just found out that the baby has gone to CPS.
Their first stop is fucking Taco Bell. All we hear is like Courtney Love level sniffling, and I'm not kidding.
I know.
Because we don't, and this is why I know that Kirk was blowing lines.
Yeah.
Is because we didn't see her. And
yeah.
We just heard sniffling. So
yeah.
The filmmakers were like, they just didn't want to show her doing that. But that's exactly what she was doing. So this is like a whole other mini episode.
This is the most ridiculous situation.
The two of them, Sexy and Kirk, are more stoned.
Somehow between like the 15 minute drive to Taco Bell, they've gotten so fucked up.
And it's ridiculous.
They're at the drive through, you guys.
Can I get a quesadilla? That's Sexy.
Hello.
Sorry about your wake. I
had to order
whatever.
Yeah, give me a quesadilla.
The sexiest woman in the world orders orders a fajita, and the guy's like, "We don't have them." And at first, I'm like, "Taco Bell, really?" But Sexy's like, "Y'all don't have fiestas?"
The steak and cheese fajita only was cheese and steak only.
We don't
have fajitas. You don't have fiestas.
She's so
fiestas.
Hammered. Yeah.
And the poor guy's like, sorry, can y'all repeat that? And she's like, why isn't a wild fiestas on your sign? Can I get some mozzarella cheese sticks? And you're like, what?
Why is it on your sign if you don't have it?
Are you talking about gorditas?
Y'all have mozzarella cheese sticks?
No.
She literally asked for mozzarella cheese sticks at Taco Bell.
And also, like, you should have fajitas. But he probably right. couldn't understand a goddamn word she said.
Right.
But then it was like, y'all have fiestas? I'm like, oh, boy. So then...
So she asked the guy to repeat the order back to her and then just drives away.
She had the wherewithal, which also, whenever you do takeout, just like, please read it back. That's an excellent question. question to ask, and I was shocked that she had the, she was together enough to ask that.
Did you repeat that order back to me?
Yes, I got the heart.
She, totally. But she's like, where's my fiestas? Where's my gorditas? I'm like, oh, okay. Here's the thing where I'm like, the level of entitlement and lack of awareness.
Uh-huh.
Sexy sees people sitting in the Taco Bell, right?
So they're in the car. Right. They're still in the car. There is a pane of glass. There's a window.
So she sees people. And you know those fast food restaurants, the glass is super thick. Like, it's... So she sees...
It's like bulletproof.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, totally.
Yeah.
And she sees people that they know in the Taco Bell, like, just having a really nice evening for themselves.
Totally.
Sexy screams at them.
She's not mad though. Renee!
Get out and knock on the window.
So they're trying to get the attention of these people in the Taco Bell. The people in the Taco Bell finally turn around and they're like, oh, they have like a quizzical, like, oh, hi.
Just
like,
being nice. And they're like, you guys, this glass is really thick. We're safe here.
Yeah.
Jack!
Jack, come here.
Hey, Tanner.
What she says is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, y'all, they took her baby away. They took the baby.
They took her baby. She had her baby. CPS took it.
And so the people inside the Taco Bell are basically clapping with, like, the thumbs up, like, oh, she had the baby, yay.
Because she's gesturing, and then she's gesturing a pregnant belly. The tone is like, oh, my God, y'all, she had the baby. And the people are like, what? Excellent. And then she's literally like, they took her baby. She's crying. She's crying. She might as well be like, she's beautiful. 7 pounds, 4 ounces. It's amazing.
She's a miracle. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And they're like, hey, y'all. Like, the people, the poor people waving. It's like, just finish your fiestas, everybody.
I know.
Oh, my God. And also, Mammy, now we're like with Mammy.
Yeah.
Suddenly, who the fuck knows?
Right.
And this movie makes me feel like I'm on, like,
I
sorted pills.
I know.
And Mammy keeps referring to the baby as it, which is really just awful.
Yeah, yeah.
And she goes, they took it because there's drugs in it. I don't know why. I don't know how that's helpful. I just don't know.
It's awful. It is awful.
So Mammy, Sexy, and Kirk go to the bar.
So this is the whole scene where, like, Kirk is out of her mind. She's so sad. She doesn't know where her kid is. She's fucked up on drugs. They're getting ready to go out. And this is where you see the three of them. Like, you can tell that, like, when they were teenagers, they have this thing where, I'm the mean one. I'm the whatever one. And they...
Stupid Charlie's Angels pose.
Exactly. Ugh. And they try to do it now, and they are falling all over themselves. They are so fucking hammered.
Right.
Now, you see all three of us girls? The biggest,
the meanest,
and baddest.
There you go. Now, you see us now? We look pretty goddamn good.
Uh-huh. And then they act, they're like, just wait till we come back, then we're really gonna be hammered. And you're like, oh, more than this? All right. My voice is gonna be shot doing that low gravelly thing. All for you guys. So now we're back to Mousy.
Mousy, again, is Mamie's daughter who was in jail for 4 years.
Right, with the deadbeat husband, Charlie, who cheated on her with Kirk. You guys got it? Taking some notes? So then we meet Charles, right?
You shut the fuck up. You always run your mouth.
O-B-E-C.
I ain't around for you. Get the hell out of here. That beer is not here. Get the hell out of here.
Open shirt.
He's disgusting.
He never has a shirt on. No. And when he does, it's wide open. And you're
he's
like, oh my
fat
God.
And he's disgusting.
And his girlfriend, very smartly, does not want to be on camera or associated with any of this. So now they get Charles in the car.
To be clear, Charles has a girlfriend, but he's agreed to get into this car with Mousy, who is his ex-wife.
Also drinking and driving. Everyone's drinking and driving. So now Mousy is full out sexually assaulting her. But I mean, they technically are married. That doesn't mean anything. I'm just saying.
Right.
I'm just trying to find the words of who he is to her.
Yeah.
They're technically married. And she is ripping his clothes off and just demanding sex from him.
And he's not into it.
He is... How many times does he say no? Really?
We goddamn.
No. You're stuck with full Mousy tonight. Mousy's getting dick tonight.
God damn.
Hell no.
Yes.
No.
But then they, get back together.
Yeah.
That's how that story ends.
We get because these guys went to the film school of on-screen text. Thank God. Hero bells for them. We find out that, after this night, this guy never goes back to his wife, and he just, stays with Mousy. He moves back in with Mousy.
Well, he sleeps with a girlfriend, every once in a while.
Yeah.
Who cares?
So now basically what happens like towards the end is that is Kirk, the one who lost the baby to CPS, she's like, she knows that in order to like get the baby back, she's got to get clean. Like that's the thing that she has to do. So you see her on the phone. She's calling around trying to find a rehab that can take her.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I so appreciate it. Okay, bye. She's going to get me straight in on Monday.
And she finds one.
Yeah. And before she goes on a super bender, which is like, I've watched Intervention. I know that's what you do.
Yeah.
Where like, the people are like, can I shoot up before I go? Can I drink on the plane? And they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Whatever it takes to get you there.
Whatever it takes to get you there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what they go to this like, they go to a bowling alley and they get hammered.
Sue Clark's last party for rehab. We're having her one last party before she goes to rehab at the bowling alley in Chapmanville, West Virginia. And I signed everyone's name on it that drank all of it. That way I'm going to keep it treasure. That way when Kirk comes out straight and clean, I'm going to say, remember this.
And all I could think of this whole time is like, you guys, she needs to never see you again. Like, if this is going to work, this needs to be like, there's no celebrating her sobriety at a bar when she gets out. You know what I mean?
This
like,
needs to be a goodbye party.
A goodbye party forever and ever and ever.
Right, right.
Yeah. And so she goes to rehab and she's with her son Tyler on the way to this rehab.
Oh, this is horrible.
She's trying to talk to him about like what rehab is. And
we got to go to Beckley and drop me off and then y'all come back.
Why
are
we gonna go to
bed? Cause I gotta go over and stay, babe.
Forever.
No. You know what rehab is?
And it's just heartbreaking. And then like basically it ends with like Kirk going to rehab and she go and you're just like the whole time you're like, please let this work, please let this work.
Right.
And she's been there for a little while. She's clean and sober. She's been sober for 3 months. She looks great.
I've been clean for 3 months. That's my 24-hour coin. That's my 30-day coin. And that's my 60-day coin.
She goes back to get Tyler, and he's going to come and live with her now. Mm-hmm. And they're in the car again, driving back to the rehab, and Tyler's saying to her, like, you're going to leave me.
You will leave me.
I'm not going to leave
you. You always do.
I'm not going to leave you.
You left me last time.
Why do you always remind me of that? I've told you I'm sorry like a million times.
No, you haven't. You already started.
Okay. I'm really, really sorry for ever leaving you anywhere. I'm really sorry for never playing your game with you.
That's bad.
Mom's really sorry.
I'll say it again.
I'm sorry, Tyler. Okay, I'm so sorry.
You don't have to say I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Will you ever forgive me?
You can see her seeing her son and like loving him so much for the first time.
It's funny that you say that because she wouldn't even look at him in that first interview.
Right.
She was talking at him like he was behind her.
Yeah, I know.
So for you to say seeing, that's a very poignant thing.
Well, because there's
just
one
part. Smart and beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So thin. There's this one part where she's looking at him and they're talking and he looks away and she just keeps staring at him and he looks back and he's like, what?
What?
Yeah.
And she's yeah, it's so real. It's like she did it. And then we see in the end that like because she's making this progress, she gets to see her daughter on the weekends, mm-hmm. which I can tell you, like being in the foster parent system, that's real major progress.
Sure.
It's the first step to getting your kids back.
Yeah.
We don't know what happens. I don't know. Did you Google?
I Googled, but it was, I didn't learn much. I really didn't.
I would love to know if anybody out there like has an article about whatever became of Kirk. I don't care about the rest of them.
I really don't.
I want to know what happened to Kirk. I want to know if she's like stayed clean, if she got her kid back. Kirk, if you're listening, girl, call us.
Yeah, I do wish her the best. Like I said, I've known people who've battled heroin and that's super tough. And I really do wish her the best. I hope she got her life together and I hope she got away from the fucking whites who I don't think are wonderful at all.
No. Girl, we got through it.
You know, I was excited. This is also just like my favorite day of the week.
Oh, I know. Recording day is the best.
It's the best. Yeah. But I was like really mad.
I know.
I like resent that this movie kind of glorified a lot of bullshit, but I had fun talking to you about it.
You know, one of the lawyers in this said, you know, there's a kid from this town who's just as underprivileged as these kids and he got into MIT. Why aren't there cameras following him around?
Right, because the jackass guys aren't going to fucking make a movie about the smart kid who went to MIT and like worked his way out. Like, are you kidding me?
Johnny Knoxville, call me. Well, what are we doing next, girl?
You tell me. You're the one who just looked it up.
All right. you guys, we're doing Finders Keepers on the calendar. It had said Bowling for Columbine. You guys, there was just another school shooting last week. And to be honest with you, we can't handle it right now. So we're going to do Finders Keepers. It's another one you guys have all asked for. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be super fun. It's going to be great.
Great.
Girl, where can they find us?
Oh my God. At True Crime Obsessed on the Twitter. At True Crime Obsessed Podcast on the Instagram. And True Crime Obsessed. .com.
Where can they find you?
At Jillian with a G. I love how you do you.
You.
It's very, I like that we bookend with a little sing-songiness. I like it. At Jillian with a G on all the things.
You can find me at Patrick Hines on the Twitter, at Patrick Hines _ on the Instagram. You guys, don't forget to check out our Patreon. We're up to episode 7 of Serial, you guys. It's crazy town.
Yeah, and for $5, you can, if you join now, that was horrible. That's very commercially, and that's not what I mean. But like, if you sign up, you get the backlog. Like, they never go away.
It's true. And they're all commercial free.
Yeah. They just exist forever for you.
Totally.
Love you so much. Obsessed.
Stay tuned for our hilarious outtakes. TM. You guys, we're off next week because Jillian is taking a much well-deserved vacation. And our palate cleanser this week is from this year's Tony-nominated Broadway revival of Once on This Island. It's Alex Newell singing Mama Will Provide. And we love you. We'll see you soon.
Okay, love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
And what's the problem there?
I got a human foot.
Have a what?
A human foot. And this plum nasty got me grossed out.
I'd seen the grill and ended up buying it. And I opened the grill up, and there's a foot, you know, 5 toes and 5 toenails. I decided to keep it.
The Smoker Grill is now a tourist attraction.
I can't believe. I mean, who is this guy? That's my leg.
He lost his leg 3 years ago, and that's just one hurdle life has thrown at him.
I've been shot, run over by a state dump truck, electrocuted. I've been through a lot.
An unbelievable character, isn't he?
A gentleman told me today I was a household name in Hollywood, California.
Everybody around here knows him as a footman.
Some folks just call me Foot for short.
It is a freak show, no question.
It's a funny story, but it's born of tragedy.
I lost my leg in a plane crash, and I lost my father.
When I was a kid, I made a wish.
One day I might be a movie star.
He likes the spotlight. It's all he thinks about. It's just took him over.
After the crash, they send you home with a can full of Oxycontin and nobody says anything about the addiction. That's what about killed me. And I would have just kept on doing what I was doing. It's really all I had was that leg.
If he can hang on to this leg and keep it in this world, then that's his dad.
This leg has given him a purpose.
There must have been 50 cameras clicking and flashing. None of that had ever happened before in my life, and that's something you'll never forget, you know.
The battle tonight is just who does that leg belong to?
I got proof, evidence.
He actually thought this was his big break.
As bizarre as it all is, we can't move forward until there's an ending for this leg.
It's a win-win-win. If you're just winning or win-winning, that's just winning or win-winning. But when you're win-win-winning, you're win-win-winning.
Oh my God, there was a listener today who tweeted at us and was like, Patrick, every time I hear your laugh, it like makes my heart sing. But as a professional, I'm really concerned for the health of your vocal folds.
Yeah, get that throat coat going.
I know.
Do you want to have like a relationship advice podcast?
That would actually be amazing. That would be amazing because I feel like I'm not that good at that stuff. So I think it'd be amazing to give advice about it.
Let's do it. Let's throw another fucking podcast on our place.
I know, that exactly.
Sounds like a good idea. But now there's that scene where they're all just like playing that South Park, like you snark K and I'll snark K, honey. And they're playing this loud music like on the train tracks or whatever. And then they cut to Bertie Mae and the poor thing looks like the most miserable I've ever seen anyone look. And they're like, Mom, watch me. Like, they're all in the pool. Like, watch me do a handstand. Only they're doing their stupid fucking music. And she is sitting there, and, like, her eyes are glazed over and half closed. And she's like, this is my life.
She's like, somehow this is what became of my offspring.
Right. You snorke and I'll snorke, honey. Remember when after Kirk blows lines in the bathroom on the toilet of the shitty bar where she's covered in glitter and then starts quoting the Bible? Fuck you. She's also incredibly sexy, according to her. Nobody else.
Have you ever Googled bad smile? Don't ever do it.
Oh, no.
I Googled bad smile once. I don't remember why. It ruined my life.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
Walk with me, little girl, don't you be afraid. Walk with me, little girl, let me be your guide. Oh, a pretty thing like you.
Sha, 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 sha.
We'll need a thing or two, and whatever you need, Mama will provide.
Mama will.
Down the road, little girl, you may lose your way. To sleep on the knees, fun for your toes, to fill up your belly.